Oh, I'll get to it here in a minute. All right, man.
Hey, these people.
Are you ready for a good ass show? Shut up, Dave.
Yeah, shut up, Dave.
I don't know why Robin laughs every time I do that.
Because it makes me laugh. It's like watching Tommy Boy and the kid runs into the fucking glass window every time and I laugh.
Cool. All right, here we are. We're back again.
Black again.
It's another edition. Another episode of my show.
Dave show.
And I swear to God, we've got this guy over here. He figured out what day it was a couple minutes ago and got on the show. He hasn't slept in 6 weeks. It's Dave.
6 weeks? I'm dead. Yeah, I also enjoyed the fact that I told you guys that I hadn't slept in 2 days, and you guys just kept on talking.
Yep.
Not that you were ignoring me, but that because my sleep is so jacked that that's normal nowadays.
Yeah, sleep disorders have been going around. They're a regular cock of the walk lately.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, to my right, I don't know where I'm at on his screen, but the guy that's confused that ribbed condoms don't taste like ribs, it's Robin.
They don't. It's true.
What if you get ribbed flavored condoms?
I don't know. Norm had a joke about that. I think he said something like 30% of people use condoms. And you know how you can tell? Because they're fucking nerds. Anyway. Anyway, bringing it back around. Full circle. It's Happy I Hate the Huskies week. And it's that guy stuck in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The hoop snake known as Jake.
It's me, One Take Jake, back in the saddle again. Wait, you're goddamn right it is.
Goddamn right it is.
Got about introducing Robin properly.
Hey.
But yeah, it is definitely Husky Hate Week, and I hate those fucks so much.
I almost just had to bleep myself.
So much.
Yeah, fucks is about as PG as I can keep it.
Yeah.
I hate them. And we're coming out in the eggshells.
I was really hoping for the color on color.
Yeah,
hate crimes. Wait, no, that's not it.
It's bullshit that they were home in our stadium. I mean, I guess we chose to wear eggshell.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like, couldn't we have worn the throwbacks this week?
Please, why are we doing it for Wazoo?
And then yeah, because it's homecoming.
Yeah, well,
because it's homecoming, and they want the people to come home, and everybody's
gonna play that stupid song.
Song sucks. Oh my god, that song sucks.
I'm coming home. Yeah, well, Ted Bundy was a Husky.
Yeah, Ted Bundy was a Husky.
Kenny Wheaton always scores.
Kenny Wheaton always scores, and Matt Carney sucks at music.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but he sucks.
He's the guy that does that I'm Coming Home to Oregon
song. Yeah, don't
song.
Care. Wait, who sings Shout, though? So I don't know who sings Shout. Wait.
Well, Otis, that version Otis, is by Otis Day and the Night.
Day and the Night, yeah.
Yeah, at the Dexter Lit Club.
Yeah. Oh, I do have something to talk about.
What's funny is people don't actually realize how far away from, like, campus the Dexter Lit Club is.
How far away is it?
It's like a 45-minute drive.
How far away is it?
It's out near Lowell. Well, or okay. Yeah, it's out past Pleasant Hill, out near Lowell.
Oh, P
that.
Hill, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Out in the P Hill.
The P Hill way.
The old Phil.
Old P Hill way.
What's the most remote school you played against?
North Lake.
Where's that?
Exactly.
there's a lake in the north.
I don't know. Is there a lake?
I don't.
I mean, maybe on the map. You ever heard of Christmas Valley?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Christmas Valley.
There.
Been there.
I know people who live in Christmas Valley.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, there's lakes. There was a lake. So there was a lake there years and years ago, but it's dried up.
Like, yeah, California also like used to be a lake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I played Siletz, or I coached against Siletz Valley.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, I played some Siletz.
No. So this was actually kind of sketchy. So
me too, my good man.
It was a year after I graduated. I came on and assistant coached for the boys team.
I'm sorry, and, my head's all messed up because you said I came on.
I heard it too. I heard it. I was like, eh, let me go.
Okay. Hey.
And then I coached.
Come on, Eileen.
And then I coached. So Sletz had had joined the league. It was the first year in the league, and we also had the Mohawk Indians, and they took exception to them being the Indians because they were a bunch of white kids. And they waited after the game, after Mohawk beat them by fucking 75 points. The adults like went and got on the bus and started beating ass. Like, and so I show up, I had to leave work. So I got there a little bit late. I got there like halfway through the girls game, and there are sheriffs like posted up all around the gym. I'm like, what did I just walk into?
Right.
I'm like, and I walk over, I'm like, coach, what the heck is going on? Cause it was a Christian school. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Right.
He's like, and he told me exactly what I told you. And I'm like, can we go? I don't want to win by accident and then get our shit run because they're poor sports. But yeah, like they beat their ass because they were the Indians.
The good thing is at least when there's a school shooting, it's just bow and arrow. sorry.
I saw something today, and it really revolutionized my view of bow hunters. It just said, it was a caption. It said, "You know I'm a bow hunter because felons can't have firearms."
That is true.
I was like, "Oh my god, that's the whole reason bow hunting's even a thing anymore."
I wonder if the crossbow counts as a bow.
It does.
Does it? Because they just started allowing Oregonians to hunt with crossbows.
See, like, Bedino could have used one all along. I mean, if he could have used his tongue to pull the trigger, I guess.
They have different rules for handicap and ADA things.
Well, while we're talking about the different rules and bullshit here about hunting, let me get on a little bit of a soapbox here and talk about something that I find to be a little bit of bullshit. So anytime and every time, with the exception of once that I've gone hunting, I go at black powder hunting. Mm-hmm. I don't take, I have a 30-06. I don't usually take that. I take my 54 caliber open sight rifle, and that's what we hunt with. I've got to get to be within about 300 yards to get a shot, good shot off. So there's a lot of stocking and skill involved, if we're being honest. That's why I've never got one, because I'm not very good. That said, they have what are called inline black powder rifles, and that's what these fucking schmoes are out here using. And it's essentially a regular rifle. They just put the powder patch ball in, and then they bolt it into position and shoot it. Whereas I'm out there with a maple stock rifle with, again, open frame with a Frizzin and, well, I guess I wouldn't use my flintlock. I would use a cap lock for hunting. But still, I'm out there using an actual, like, 1840s primitive technology black powder hunting. Whereas, well, no, it's still rifle. But but the people are essentially using modern weaponry, but they're using a black powder propulsion system and calling it black powder hunting. And it pisses me off because it's not the same. You're not following the spirit of the hunt.
It's and like if the ducks...
because we get a special time, and right. It's a hair tag.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that they're using modern rifles to basically cheat at hunting pisses me off.
I mean, like, so, using a crossbow in bow season.
That's one. Well, but my analogy was if the Ducks show up in their throwback jerseys but go and play the 1992 Oregon Ducks. They're wearing the same jerseys. They're wearing the same uniforms. They're not the same.
Right.
It's not
the exactly.
Same. You're a cheater.
Same.
So if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this and you're an inline black powder rifle shooter, which is a really, really esoteric thing to ask for, like, justify yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to know your mother doesn't love you.
I want you to know and want to know your father's disappointed in you and wherever
if,
he
and
is.
And if you're not doing anything on Friday the 13th, Dave needs someone to watch a movie with.
Come watch a scary movie with me so I can cuddle you.
Mm. And come.
Come on, and Eileen.
And Dave, too.
No, don't come on me.
Why not?
Well, okay.
Yes, got him.
Got him.
Yeah.
God. Back to fucking the Huskies, please.
Oh yeah. Oh,
that's
my
what
God.
We're talking about that like 10 minutes ago.
Well, it is the week.
It is the week of fucking Huskies.
The things that I'm seeing from the Husky fans are pathetic. Like they don't really have much. It's like, you guys wouldn't be anything without Phil Knight's money and this.
Wait, they're
and
still
like,
doing that?
Oh yeah.
They're like
you guys have a fucking German corporation.
New material.
Is that any better?
It's duck season. Oh, I got the duck hunt game. Oh,
you know how many dogs get euthanized every year? Fuck you.
Not
guys.
Enough.
There's a whole town.
The whole town. Not really.
I
mean, no, there's like
I was
a
gonna,
small
I was
part
about
of this.
To say it right.
Like, you've been up here, like, you saw it for yourself. I'm like, hey, watch.
It's wild.
I'm going to show you where all the Husky fans are. Like, near the stadium. Then you leave, you see one or two.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about the Huskies
up
here.
It's wild. Like, if you go to Eugene, I challenge you to go to a store and not see somebody wearing a Ducks something.
I've walked around.
Pick
like,
a store.
In 2 weeks, I've been wearing Oregon gear every day for 2 weeks, and I've encountered 3 Husky fans.
Yeah, like I said last week, I've encountered 4, and that was at Duck Games this year.
Like, I have questioned this before, if Oregon had an NFL team, because a lot of people fall under the I don't really care about the NFL.
That's
and,
true.
And they're really big into college. So they're either really big Ducks fans or they're really big Beavers fans.
Mm-hmm. That definitely plays a factor.
Because we don't, you know what I mean? So I've just mm-hmm. like if the A's had chosen or A's had chosen to come
but let me
to.
Dave, let me ask you this. Portland. Would you go see a Portland football game every Sunday?
No, absolutely not.
No, because we grew up with the Ducks.
Yeah. That's,
that was what we
again,
had.
That's the other. Like, if we all of a sudden, if the Raiders had decided to come to Portland for some weird reason, like, I still wouldn't care.
I think if the Seahawks, say this, if the Seahawks had been in Portland my entire life, or Eugene.
Portland Peahawks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That maybe wouldn't have worked, but still funny. I would. There's a chance. It's tough though because like that's just what I grew up with. Like once I realized we had a sports team in Oregon, like this is the process. I'm pretty sure I've said it before, but there was a kid in third or fourth grade. I can't remember. I think it was Ryan Crouch had Oregon Ducks sweatpants. And I was like, wait, what is the Oregon Ducks? Like I'd never thought about it, and I was just getting into sports. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's this football team in Oregon. I'm like, we have an Oregon team? Well, that's my team.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how lucky that was. It could have been the Beavers.
Dude, it's the same conversation we had. I almost ended up a Trojan.
Ooh.
I think about
hey,
that.
Fuck you, Kenner.
I almost ended up an illegal.
You still might.
You never know. Did I tell you about the story about the Social Security office losing track of my sister?
No.
Oh, I told
yeah, you
Robin
told
this.
Us. You told us on the podcast in like June.
Okay.
Well, tell it again for the new listeners.
Because we were talking about your sister's wedding coming up. That's what.
Yeah, because my sister's wedding was coming up, she had, so backstory, my sister didn't come to the U.S. until I was 6 years old. From the time I was six until she got married when I was like 14 or 15, she was a green card holder. So she got married, got her citizenship, got her social security number. Years later, gets divorced, is getting remarried, and she has to do some name change, like getting everything prepped up, and the social security office lost track of her.
Oh, shit.
Like, I overheard the conversation with my mom, and I'd like, I immediately, are you getting deported? I was like, you gotta be like one of them dreamers now, right? You've been here a while, and you have kids.
Speaking of dreamers, did I ever tell you about the time that Julio used me as an agent, as like a fake, essentially, power of attorney to go like handle his business at the Honduran consulate?
It sounds familiar.
I'll tell it for the new listeners.
Hey, let's hear the story.
So
tell him, Hawk.
Well, Julio needed to get his dreamer status updated, or else his ass was going to get deported. And so he had to get his stuff regulated with the Honduran consulate, which coincidentally was in the same parking lot as the elections office I was working in. So I just had to walk across the street and do it. But anyway, he's like, hey, can you go in there and set up an appointment for me? Normally this is not something they allow, but like, just see what you can do. I've called to try to set an appointment. They're not answering the phone. Just go in and see what you can do. Mm-hmm. Which Did I have a suit? Oh, I had a shirt and tie.
Pacific Northwest lawyer.
Yeah, and I had a neck credential on too when I went in there. So I looked real
official.
Yeah, I looked real official. So anyway, I go walking in, and I can hear everyone talking in Spanish, just everything's fine. And then they kind of look at me walking up. I'm like, hi, how you doing?
Puedo ir al baño, por favor.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca? No, I was like, hi, I'm here to set an appointment for a client of mine. And they're like, and she's like, okay. I was like, yeah. And I give them all the information, and they're like, well, is he not, like, they like start questioning the situation. I'm like, no, he's not available today. He asked me to come down and take care of it for him. And like, I just like, that's something we can do, right? Like I can get that. We can do an appointment. Like the appointment's available. We'll just put his name there. Can we do that? We can do that, right?
I'm surprised we're doing it right now.
I mean, you can do that. And she's like, oh yeah. And so we got everything scheduled, and he goes in, and apparently when he came out, he's like, dude, they remembered you. Like when I came in to do my appointment, like they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so came in and got this all set up. And like, they remembered that I was like, oh, I had the Rico Suave going apparently.
It's probably also one of the few times somebody sent somebody.
Right.
And they're like,
that's true.
Oh,
They sent a white guy to do right. Latin people business.
They're like, oh, Mr. Julio. God.
Latin people business is the name of the episode.
Yes.
Timmy Trump is playing in the background as he's walking through, even though that wasn't a even though he wasn't a thing yet.
So that's why they call me La Flama Blanca.
Oh my gosh. I had like four different things to say, but I was like, nope. Now they're gone.
That's the way my brain's been lately. It's like I have something to say, and then it's gone. Then I sit like for like 5 minutes trying to remember what it was I was saying earlier.
For me, it's probably just better that I just let it go.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Well, hey. It wasn't important enough for me to fucking remember, so.
It's probably something derogatory about the University of Washington.
Fuck those fucks.
You know what I noticed is that Lanning is calling, hasn't like, doesn't reference them. He says they're playing good ball up north.
Yeah.
He's doing that southern we don't talk about our enemy thing.
We don't talk about Bruno and those guys either.
We don't talk about Bruno. No. I've never actually seen that, but I know that line of the song.
You don't have to. You know enough.
Exactly.
I was around enough kids to hear that song over and over again.
Can we still?
I know people don't really care about Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders anymore, but can we talk about this last week?
When he flashed his watch,
he's like, "Ah!" And we're like, "Dude, after I thought that was just a joke."
Yeah, like you did it. You wanted to put a watch on one guy. I got it. Like, okay, whatever. You wanted to show him that he was a bitch or whatever. Then you like run over to incite the entire student section with it. It's like, I think it was Gottlieb who said it earlier. He's like, that's spoiled rich kid behavior.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I hope he spends the rest of his college career getting sacked 7 or 8 times a game.
Well, he is, because they're not going to have
he's not going to go anywhere, because he's going to, if he stays at Colorado, like, he's just going to be the guy that gets sacked all the time.
They're not going to have enough time to build.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the off season.
They're going to show all his video that they're going to watch are from like the first 3 games of each season.
Mm-hmm. He is leading the country in passing yards, but they're probably last in rushing.
They are 100% last.
Yeah, but if you add up his first 3 games, that right there is going to put him above the pack.
No, because he was even with everybody. He was even with the field last week or 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
When they played USC, he was even with everybody. And now 2 more weeks, he's like 300 yards ahead of everyone now. Maybe it was only 200, but still, he's ahead by.
And like Cam Rising's falling off.
Man, I haven't watched Utah since the Baver game.
They suck.
Has Cam Rising really fallen off?
No, he's just not there. I meant Cam Ward.
Oh.
Oh, he has. Man, I watched that UCLA game.
Wasn't Cam Rising like fairly good?
He was solid.
He was above average.
Yeah,
ACL and.
Well, I mean, for the fact that I remember his name means that he was a little bit better than the pack.
Right. Right.
No, because I don't remember names. I barely remember names of Duck players. You guys know this. I don't remember.
Cam Rising is above average, and in the Utah system, he was great.
Yeah.
Did you, Dave? Did you hear about the story that one of the car dealerships gave every football player a brand new Dodge Ram truck? It's part of their NIL collective. It is just a lease. But they're paying for the insurance.
But it's a free car.
And you've got a truck. Everybody. I mean, I'm sure it's confusing after practice when they try to leave. They're like, wait, which one's mine? Oh, fuck. We all get the same truck.
Everyone's going beep, 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 beep.
I wonder how often those alarm codes, like, copy. How many? Because, like, what are the odds? If you have 80 of them, can you hit the beep, beep, and 2 of them unlock?
I remember one time, this is one of those weird memories from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We were at an RV dealership trying to buy a trailer or something. And my dad locked his keys in the Ford Fiesta. And for some reason, somebody knew that there was only like 6 different key patterns for that year of something.
Mm.
And between everyone there, they had 4 of the 6 key patterns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they tried, and like the third of the 6 of the 4 keys that they had just unlocked the door, which meant that like 1 out of every 6 of these cars you could just open.
It's like, oh, free car.
Yeah, which is absurd to me. Like, how is it that easy? How is it that we locked the keys in the car and we were able to unlock the keys? The unlock the car was someone else's keys.
Right.
I had heard, and I don't know if it's true because I never looked into it, but I had heard when I was living up in Washington, there was a spree of car thefts because they were actually selling lead-lined boxes for you to put your key fobs in your house, because they had some sort of computer that can find it.
Yeah, I buy that.
And if they get close enough to it, they can stand outside your door.
The fucking hopper or whatever it's called.
Well, because, you know, a lot of people get home, they take their keys out, and they put it next to the door.
Flipper, yeah.
That Flipper, yeah.
I don't,
they, you know, so people, so these thieves would stand by the door, get the code and whatever, and be like, oh, okay, cool, door's opened. And they were basically just bouncing it, the signal off of your fob to the car and then leaving.
That's There's wild. A lot of reasons not to leave your keys by the door. That's one of them.
That's up there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the, so in Colorado, they've had a string of Ford Raptor trucks stolen because somebody has figured out how to make the keys, like a just like the Flipper Zero thing.
Yeah.
And well, they're just one, all of them are getting stolen.
For
all
one, if you buy a Ford Raptor, you're a douche anyway, so you deserve it.
Well, it's got the tampon holder.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's a real thing. Like,
look at my Raptor that I'm never going to take anywhere.
So when I was down in Anaheim, one of the guy that I was hanging out with and my boss, he had a Ford Raptor and he fucking drove it like he was in Baja, like over curbs and shit. I'm like, man,
oh God, he's a Jeep guy.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't know how many times I saved us traffic. All right. In the old Teal for real.
Six. Not many.
Like, oh man, traffic's bad. Well, I can go over this curb because I'm in a Jeep.
Speaking of traffic, I'm going to start bringing the construction vest for leaving tailgating. I have one now, so mm-hmm.
I've got a couple white hard hats.
I have walkie-talkies. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Just come on.
All right. And then I go jump back in.
But you're driving.
It's gonna be weird.
He's just ghost riding the whip. Hold up.
You stop. All right, I'm gonna come.
I'm gonna come.
Don't come.
You don't come.
Come on, Eileen.
Somebody get her a towel.
Did you see that, Dave? I think I sent it to you. The come on, Eileen thing. Yes. Maybe I can go back. I just sent it like a little bit ago. I don't know if you actually looked at it because you don't look at things, but.
No. Plus, I've been on my phone for
a
while because I was trying to get this thing set up on the TV.
It's a meme, and it says, Karen, at this year's staff party, the theme was dress like a famous song title. And then she looks like this with an Eileen name tag on.
She wins.
And Bales is like, I don't get it. And I was like, what? All right, well, here comes the song. And he's like, yeah, I don't know that song. And I was like, it's on Tommy Boy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've heard that. I don't get the grinder thing. And Ben and I both asked again.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, so
the rhythm that I hit it in was da 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 da.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Because it was Dave, all one note.
Yeah, Dave probably would have heard it, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you talking about the grinder notification sound?
What does it sound like, Dave?
I have no idea. I did see a video.
He hasn't got the notification yet.
Yeah, I did see a video where someone was just playing, kind of like that Pornhub thing when they play the beginning music and then you see who looks. This girl was going in a bar or whatever, and she would play the grinder notification sound, and just to see which guys looked because they knew what the sound was.
Oh. That would be an interesting test to do.
The scariest part about Grindr is when you're looking at it and it's like, oh man, 800 feet, 700 feet, 600 feet, 500 feet, fuck.
Does Grindr actually have that?
Yes, it does.
I heard that was actually it gives you like within 10 feet away of whoever your match is.
So wait, there was one time I was at my friend's house. And we were fucking around and we put him on Grindr while we were getting drunk. Mm-hmm. And we did it on my phone. So I was in charge of his Grindr account for the duration of the time I was there. And at one point we cut the head of a decoy duck off of a decoy. And I would ask guys if they wanted to see a duck pic And then every time they say yes, I would send a picture of this head sticking out of my friend's zipper. So I would send it to them, and they would not find it funny. But one of the things that I saw is it was like, you know, this person is 850 feet away, and this person is 0.2 miles away. And then, so yeah, it's like, oh no, they're getting closer and closer and closer. Because at some point it's like 800 feet, then you turn around and walk the other direction, it's like 700 feet. You're like, aha!
Other way.
Yeah, then I realized like 3 days later I had only deleted the app. I didn't erase the account. So I was like, I should probably do that because now I've got my friend out there on Grindr and he probably doesn't need that in his life.
He may not want it, but...
So yeah, I went back to delete it and it was like, I had like 22 messages.
Oh my God.
I was like, no.
Similar thing happened to me, but I was the guy that got.
I'm shocked.
So, well, again, this was out of the Navy, so extra not shocking.
Mm-hmm. No, I assumed.
in the armory, we all had our specific logins, right? And right. We played this game where if you left yourself logged in, we would fuck with you somehow. Like I've never heard
of this game.
Yeah, right?
It seems weird.
Why would that ever happen?
And I got a few times. One time we had a brand new weapons officer on board, and he called me into the office with my chief and was like, hey, GM2 Deaton, like, I appreciate the welcome, but that was a little bit too far. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes on. No. I was like, sir, I didn't send you any emails. And he shows me this email, and it's this long, like, hey, welcome aboard. Like, I could tell that you played for Annapolis, like you are built and just like all this stuff. And behind my weps officer was my chief, and I can see him just like biting his fist. And I was like, sir, I didn't send that to you. He's like, petty officer, I don't care about what you do in your spare time. Like, and I'm no, like, sir, and just kept going. And finally, I'm like, chief, how long are you gonna let this go? And finally, he just starts laughing. He's like, sir, that wasn't GM2 Deaton. That was with the guys. He had his shit unlocked down there. And so another time on Craigslist.
Yeah. I know the Craigslist story.
So on, and this one, so I was married at the time. So this ended up being a huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
They posted a Craigslist ad, man looking for tranny, and posted my, and used my email address, my real email address, and posted my real phone number. So I was getting blown up.
I did something similar to somebody once.
Yeah. So me and my ex-wife, my wife at the time, we got into a real big one about that one.
Speaking of big ones.
Yeah.
So,
She's a bitch.
I got a hold of a phone number of somebody who was being hostile to someone I cared about. And I took that number. And this is back when Craigslist had personal ads. Mm-hmm. And so you could find a lot of interesting people on Craigslist. And so I took this individual's phone number. And I said, hello, I'm Suki, and I'm looking for a new experience in life to be the third in a new couple's experience. And I put their phone number, and I said, please call me and show me pictures of both of you. I want to make decisions based on size and shape. And so, yeah, that person, I can't imagine... I know my email blew up because I CC'd me onto the shit. So like I would see what would happen.
Oh man.
So yeah, that's fun. You can always put people's you can always put people's phone numbers and emails onto Angie's List and do like a big corporate job. Their phone will not stop ringing for about a month.
Oh yeah.
A wet work specialist.
Yep.
There you go.
Wet work. That's a good one to do to people if they piss you off. You know, these are fun little mm-hmm. things. There was a guy, you guys recall the dude who sent my wife a dick pic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a good time.
That was fun. That phone number went to a military base in Arizona. It went to the skater punks in Lebanon. It went to my race league in Australia and England.
Perfect.
So I had all sorts of chaos happening. And then, yeah, I sent the guy a text the next morning. I said, hey, did you learn a lesson last night? And like, I didn't get anything back. And I sent the meme of, it's just like, it's a very poorly drawn Goofy. And it just says, I'll fucking do it again. And he's like, and the message I get back is, I should be a lot more careful about the phone numbers I'm sending text messages to. I'm sorry. I'm like, that'll do, pig.
I won't.
And I said, I won't distribute your number any further, but I can't promise anything else won't come through.
That's fair. Did you guys ever change somebody's ringtone, like when they weren't paying attention?
No, that's funny though.
Because I did that to Brian once.
That's old. Also, that's like ding. Old school shit.
Yeah. When Brian was going to school with me at Western, I changed his text tone to the porn several times. And turned the volume all the way up and just waited. All the way up. Just waited.
There was one time Aaron and I, we were hanging out and we were listening to one of the Adam Sandler albums. And there's the buffoon. He's like, I've got a big fucking boner right now.
Snake, man.
Yeah, that one. And so he like recorded that and he's like, dude, I'm going to make this my ringtone. And so we're hanging out with my parents and his phone rings. And it's just, I got a big fucking boner right now, man.
I'm going to go get head from that fucking girl.
One time I fed him some beer.
Slithered this way and that.
He was all fucked up. Oh my God.
What happened to comedy albums?
I'm going
to
go get head from that fucking girl. I love that
yes,
shit.
Yes, very good.
Put your arms around me, baby.
Oh God, don't do that again. You did the whole song on the podcast. Twice.
I was there.
You were there.
He was there. He did it. He was the one singing it.
I seen it.
Look at him. He's doing it.
How come all of our games... How come every time Oregon plays football, they're going to put it at 12:30?
Dude, I'm so pissed at the fucking 12:30s. I'm tired of it.
Like, for road games, it's fine because I hate waiting until, like, 4. Right.
Perfect. But like, stop giving us 12:30 kickoffs at home.
We can only have so much breakfast, and we can't exactly eat cougar for...
Tired. I'm tired of fucking breakfast.
I mean, I've eaten a few cougars in my day.
We could do, you know what? We could do flapjacks this.
I'm surprised we're not doing flapjacks right now.
I'm just going to put a Craigslist ad out.
Any cougars want to come to the game with Dave?
We're looking for cougars to accompany us to the game.
To accompany us 150 roses.
Oh, yeah. That's what they used to call it. Oh, all the Craigslist hoes.
Yep, you have to pay with roses. Yep.
Right. Right, that makes sense. How
an
much
hour?
For wet work?
I only need 3 minutes.
That'll be 26 roses.
Did you catch that line earlier, Dave, when you said 10 minutes and I said, cool, I only need 9? It's from a song.
No, I didn't hear it.
You're like, give me 10 minutes. I'm like, cool, I only need 9.
I didn't hear that. Oh, yeah, I had a good one in class. Last week, I think it was.
You weren't in class.
Like Friday. My chem teacher was heating some stuff up and he had a blowtorch. And we're sitting in there and he's like, ah, this is my blowtorch. I called her, I named her Clarice. And I just say out loud, I can smell you. I can smell you. And he looks right at me and just starts busting up. No one else got it.
Right.
And he hears, I was like, with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Why do people get jokes?
There's something
they're
about...
They're like 19 and 20.
Yeah, they've never seen these movies. There's something about the combination of fava beans and like the human brain that like creates some sort of like... Like I read that there was a deeper meaning to why he was eating what he was eating with like with the liver. Sorry, I conflated Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the, like, the liver, the fava beans, and the Chianti, like, together, like, have a greater symbology.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, that movie's all about
symbolism.
Symbolism. The word is symbolism.
Symbology.
As soon as you said it, I was like, hold on, how's that line go?
I watched you react to it.
You saw me.
I was like,
hold on.
Wait a minute. Something right here.
Kind of like a, it's more like a freaky line.
Like a regular circle?
Oh, like a freaky circle.
What'd you guys do with your bye weekend?
Fucking nothing, man.
I watched
very little football. Actually,
I watched a lot of football.
I watched very little football, but I watched a lot of stats. I checked my phone quite a bit just for stats. I just wanted to see who was doing what.
I was very aware of what was going on, but I wasn't actively watching football.
I replayed.
I watched Texas.
University of Miami run the ball when they should have
knelt, my God,
like 20 times. I watched that so many times over and over again. And then I chuckled each time.
The best part of that is the guy who throws a water bottle from the stands if the dude who scores a touchdown after he slides into the end zone. You see this thing come out of the stands.
Yeah. They're like, son of a bitch. And you get pictures like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's the new crying Jordan.
I went thrifting up in Everett, which was pretty good.
Sorry.
I went to Fogo de Chao, which is a Brazilian steakhouse.
Oh, Mr. Chow?
Mr. Chow.
Fuck on the Chow? You trying to fuck on me?
You fuck on Mr. Chow?
I had six different animals and nine different types of meat.
But did you die?
I did not die. But if I did die, I would have been very happy right then.
Right?
Jake, on Columbus Day, Dana posted an indigenous woman with her middle finger up. Did you see my reply?
I seen it.
You tried to fuck on me.
And like the picture too with the hand is so it's so clutch.
She usually likes the things that I post in satire response to her. She did not like this one.
She did not like it.
Every once in a while you strike a nerve with Dana. She doesn't care for it.
Yeah, well,
if you call her out directly for something, she also doesn't typically like that.
Because you posted that.
You want to fuck on me?
And then I sent that.
Yep.
And we kill all you motherfuckers.
Your choice. Speaking of that, I'm still in somewhat of a stalemate with my organization about paying me according to the Washington Minimum Wage Act. So I think I'm going to start keeping track of my hours.
I mean, that would make sense.
I gave them an opportunity to play by the rules and play fair. And they showed me that they don't want to operate in good faith. Therefore, I must now no longer operate in good faith. Mm,
you operate in Jake faith.
There's only one person I'm looking out for. And learn to fly again. That came on the radio in the car the other day, and I sang it. I don't know if Jen picked up on it, but I definitely sang Jake These Broken Wings.
Jake! Nobody asked what I did.
What did you do? You said you watched a lot of football.
Yeah, but then I went to Eugene.
What was in Eugene? Oh, yeah, the basketball camp.
I took River to the basketball camp at the U of O, and she got to play basketball and learn from the men's and women's teams. It was cool. And I talked to Kelly Graves again, and he's like, hey! What's up?
He's like, hey, you're that guy.
How's it going? That guy. Dana was like, hey. I'm like, hey. I know that guy too. We took a picture. It was cool.
Dana's like, gosh, it's so nice to see everybody here today.
That's exactly what he did with his coffee in his hand.
Game of basketball is really growing. It's good to see here a lot of youth. The game's really growing, especially here in Eugene, and a lot of what we're doing, funded by Nike's really, really been important. To the youth game development of the women's game as well. Coach Graves can speak to that a little bit more than I can.
Well, we got our guys here today. They're going to show you a couple drills that we do, a couple things that we do. I think is unique to university here. But yeah, you know, glad to see y'all. Thank y'all for coming out. We couldn't be here without y'all. And
South will rise again.
No, Midwest. I'm in the Midwest. Don't make me go daddy program.
Right. That's different. That was cool.
I haven't heard Dan Lanning speak enough to emulate him yet.
But. His is not very accent-y. Like, it's very few. There's words, just certain words that
program,
he throws an accent.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. But for the most part.
He and I have a similar accent.
Yeah. I would say so. But anyway, back to the basketball camp was it was through Kobe Bryant's Mamba and Mambacita Foundation or something like that, Academy. And so, like, all the kids got T-shirts and they got a bracelet. And then, no, and then they got basketballs. And they seem to have extra, so I got one.
They seem to have extra. Like,
I mean, there was a big pile of them, and I was like, well, I need one of those, too.
Imagine that. This one came home with me.
Weird how that works sometimes.
It was like the bodacious posters. They're like, where'd you get those? They were over there.
They were on a table. They're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know I couldn't have one.
They didn't say I couldn't. Oh, that's. I just looked at the face. Jake now has the longest beard.
I do have the longest
Dave
beard.
Dave and I both trimmed.
We both trimmed
and
up.
And we did not.
Didn't coordinate that. I pulled the usual Dave messed up while trying to trim his beard and decided instead of shaving it completely off this time.
Uh-huh. You'd look like Al Borland.
I would, yeah.
I don't think so, Tim.
I don't think so, Tim. See, I'm growing out on your guys' behest. You told me not to shave. I almost shaved like a month ago, but I've kind of let it go. Now I can goof off.
You're going for the anthrax.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Braid it. Two braids.
No, I can. It's actually pretty substantial what I got going on here. I can.
The way you keep doing this with your fingers. You're like, yeah, excellent.
I could almost twirl my mustache, too.
A mustache. If you only had a mustache.
Dude, he's Dr. Robotnik.
That's what I was thinking.
He looks like Dr. Robotnik. And not the Jim Carrey kind.
Yeah, exactly. No, before he was Eggman. Now, what happened? When did he become Eggman? What happened? Because when I grew up, he was Dr. Robotnik. Even watching the cartoons and shit.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're calling him Eggman. When did that change?
It's in the cartoons, I think, or maybe it was the game. Maybe, but I definitely remember
Sonic
there was like a change somewhere. Yeah, it's weird. And on the movies, they talk about it a little bit.
I don't recall that.
But yeah, it's brief.
They're like, hey, he was Dr. Robotnik, but now he's Dr. Eggman. So
and they're like, yeah, it's funny.
He's wearing a bigger hat. It's funny because it's bigger than a regular hat. Was it you who sent me the thing about Norm where he was talking about it was Conan talking with his writer about if they had a joke that they thought was better than the audience reacted, that Norm would just deadpan the camera?
The way they described it was like Norm had a unique way of talking to the audience and telling jokes, and it didn't matter if he liked the joke. He was going to respond the same. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to sit there and stare at the camera like,
you know, that was a good joke.
And he would just wait.
He's like, you're not laughing because you're uncomfortable, but you know it was funny.
Right. And they used like one of the O.J. Simpson jokes as an example. Here, I'll find it real quick. And then
his O.J. jokes were so funny.
They were so good. This fucking game. Back to the fat Larry Grady looking guy.
Oh, Larry man. Fucked up Grady.
I miss Larry. Larry needs to not be so Larry.
What's Larry doing now that he's so Larry about? He needs to be more hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just dealing with being an alcoholic.
Yeah, ah.
He lives at some sort of church rehab community thing.
OJ, the murders and then the trial, and it's and this is where I really thought you and Norm MacDonald seize that moment, because you can have the right tool, but if you don't have the right moment, you don't have it. And I always think in any great movement, whether it's the Beatles in 64 or Sex Pistols in 76, you have to have the moment too. You just can't have, the two have to come together. The OJ trial happens and you and Norm are writing these jokes that are so fucking fantastic. They're just razor blades.
Are they?
And Norm is the perfect person to deliver them. There's one you wrote, which I could try and do, but you might remember it exactly, but it's a picture came up of Johnny Cochran testifying and OJ sitting next to him and Cochran standing there and he's holding the knit cap that was found at the scene and Norm in his Norm-esque way says, well, you know, Vince had a bit of a bad day today at the defense trial when Johnny Cochran testified and held up the knit cap that was found at the scene of the murder. He was going on about the knit cap when suddenly he was interrupted by OJ, who said, hey, easy with that. That's my lucky stabbing cap. Yeah. And yeah. I remembered that being an ice bullet that went through my heart. It was so. Yeah,
that's my lucky stabbing hat.
Yeah, it's my lucky stabbing hat. And the thing is, and you know this too, he would say something like that, and I don't know where my camera is. It's there, I guess. That's my lucky stabbing hat. And he would hold in this nobody does. Hold and hold and hold. And he would do it for a joke that killed, as that one did. But he'd also do it for a joke that he liked, or that you liked, or that you guys liked.
Yeah.
And if it got nothing,
it was like, it wasn't, some people said, you're punishing the audience for not liking the joke. And no, we're giving them enough time to appreciate it.
The OJ.
And so on and so forth.
Right. So funny. Like, you just get it. Like, without saying it.
And that's ultimately what led to his removal from SNL, but
The OJ jokes.
It was worth it.
So worth it.
You know, and
did just fine.
You know, Norm Macdonald did it then, and you know, Dave Chappelle did it in 2021. Occasionally there comes a time when a comic has to stand up for comedy and they have to do something even though it's unpopular or you know, not going to be seen as funny. They kind of have to break away from those norms, and so to speak. And it's interesting to see, you know, what happens to comedy when these landmark things happen. Like I know a thing or two about comedy. Like I've studied it quite a bit, and I watch a lot. I know what I like, I know what I don't like. And it's really interesting to watch the way that comedy has evolved, especially in this we'll just call it the cancel culture era. Because people who were once seen, who would be seen 10, 15, 20 years ago as tame, are now the shock comics, like your Matt Rife. Like Matt Rife wouldn't make it 15 years ago. Like he would have been a feature for Daniel Tosh like in his hometown.
Yeah, he would have been an opener for sure.
But like now, because frankly, a lot of people got out of the game for one, and for two, like people are afraid to cross that line. Like I've seen a lot of comics who understand that comedy is a sacred and it's a holy place, that we're all making jokes and nothing is said in malice and everything is fair game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you come into a comedy show with that expectation, you'll never be offended. And too often people come in with the preconceived notions of what a comedy show is, and they could be the superhero and they can be the funny ones. I saw it today. Some guy was heckling, and so the comedian says, oh, you think it's so easy? Why don't you come on up? Come on up. Hands him the microphone, and the guy goes about 30 seconds, and he's like, yeah, okay, it's pretty clear I'm bombing. Do you want the microphone back? And he's like, yeah, are you going to shut the fuck up? He's like, yes, I am. I'm going to shut the fuck up. He's like, thank you.
That's
like
what they all need to do. Anytime there's a heckler,
shut
your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
You're coming off as a really stupid ride. Just shut your mouth. Pam? I can help with the pan.
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 Panemna. Now, I've been kind of working on maybe developing a Type 5, but then I don't know what I'd do with it. Like, that's the problem, right? Like, if I start doing comedy, I'm going to want to keep doing comedy.
Well, it's that, I don't know if I sent you the video or you sent me the video, or maybe we didn't share it at all, but there was a video I watched about how people with ADHD go through their life. Okay, yeah. That's one of those things where we know that we could be good at something. And we're like, hey, I'm going to do that. And for 6 months, we're like, when then we get there through that 6 months, and we're like, huh, what else is there to do? Because I could definitely learn about Egyptology right now. Let's do that.
It's like I described it like that was literally my entire journalism career. Like, I busted my ass and I struggled my ass off to get there. And by the time I got there, I was so burnt out on it, I didn't want to do it anymore. And it made me hate something that I really enjoyed for years. Like, I mean, now I'm pretty much back to where I was as far as a sports fan. But the first couple of years I was up here were rehab years for me. Like, it took me a while to get back into caring about anything that involved scoring points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just how that goes. Oh, my door just decided to open.
Is that a ghost?
Spooky. No, it's a washing machine. But like when I watched that video, it made me think of Dave. And I was like, man, Dave does this. And I'm at the same time as I'm like, Dave does this too. I'm thinking, I really hope that this college thing doesn't become one of those.
I've thought about, well, because I'm over 6 months now.
Right.
Of doing
it
full time.
It's not just a 6 month thing, though. Yeah. It can be like years, like Jake did with the.
Well, like, my thing too is I do that, but then if I get into a groove, I can sit in that groove for years.
Yeah.
Like working at the prison.
Right.
I sat in that, like, I never wanted to be a prison guard. But I got into a sweet groove where I worked for 2 months and took 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Worked my ass off for 2 months. And then I got into the sweet groove and I just sat there to the point that when I moved down here, I had no idea what I was going to do. Because I just got out of my groove and I was like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about the ADHD shit that I'm sure that you have the same thing. Because
how many hobbies have I had?
Right.
Oh, you hyperfixate like a motherfucker.
Well, I mean, just the eras. Dave is like Taylor Swift songs. Like, she said, Biker Dave and Prison
Dave's a
Dave
love
and
story. Baby, just say Dave.
Emo Dave.
David the Chameleon
Dave.
Beaton.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a chameleon.
Your ADHD periods are longer than ours. I don't know if ADHD periods is a thing.
ADHD Dave. Well, these people.
Davis at hyperactivity Dave order.
Dave order. You could have been anywhere in the world, but they're here with us. We appreciate that. Make sure you watch this on YouTube. We've got Dorm Daddy Dave beating the doors down, our most watched episode. Thank you for that. And thank you to Robin for posting these tasty jams on the YouTube and making them available to post elsewhere. And if you're looking for them elsewhere, you can find them on Spotify. Any of our podcasts are available. But for this episode, this edition of my show, fuck the Huskies.
Fuck them straight up there. Go Ducks.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast!
make sure to go and check out definitely notsellingdrugs.com.